Hello, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining in today in our study of, with me in our study of the ABCs of Christian growth. Today we're going to be going back into our study of, killing. And, you wouldn't think that there was so much to talk about in the scriptures or that the scriptures, would have so much in them about killing, would you? But they do. So, just to get going here, we're going to recap just a little bit. I think on our last recording, we talked about suicide as described in the Bible, and that's the topic that we're on in this study of killing. We first talked about suicidal thoughts and why in the Bible, if you remember. We went over a few truths in the scriptures concerning that and seen life's weariness and life's vanity and also anger. Anger has to do with suicidal thoughts and why in the scriptures. And that stuff still goes on today. There's perhaps somebody listening to this recording, life's weariness. Life does get weary in this flesh. We're waiting on the Lord to come back, and this world is completely contrary to spiritual things and has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. They killed him, got rid of him. But while we're waiting on the Lord to come back so that we can live with him and have life the way that it ought to be, true life, life is weary here. The Lord told us not to love the world and the things in the world. This life is a weariness. And, of course, Christians get that way. They get weary and they begin to have suicidal thoughts. Yes, they do. But as we move on through this study, you'll see that Christians are going to have all these things, but they have hope. We have hope. We have different than what the world does. The world has life's weariness. You better believe they do. We were before we were saved, don't you remember? Life's weariness, but we didn't have no answers then. We do have answers now. And just because you get saved doesn't mean that your life stops being weary and life stops being, life begins to, or all the troubles of this life go away, because they don't. As long as this earth is still in a fallen state and man is in a fallen state and sin still reigns and death still reigns, there's going to be weariness and people are going to think about killing themselves. And it's getting to the point now to where it's all the way down to 5-year-olds that will commit suicide. Talking about life's vanity also, we talked about, if you remember, and evaluating and putting on a scale what this life is worth. The Lord said, it's vanity. Solomon said, vanity of vanity, all is vanity, saith the preacher. And it is. And if you read Solomon, Ecclesiastes, Solomon tried everything there was to try. He had the money and he had the means and he had everything that he needed to try out life and to see just exactly what was profitable under the sun, he said. And it ended up being nothing. Life's vanity. And that's what's wrong with the world today. People, you know, all these divorces, one out of every, I don't know, but last time I heard, one out of every two marriages ends in divorce. I believe it could be probably even more than that. But all the true things and the pure things in society are fading away. And life's vanity, everybody running to and fro, going from here to here because, well, this didn't give me what I wanted and the satisfaction that I needed. It was vain, so I tried that. All right, I go over here and try this. And that's what everybody in the world is doing, whether it's education, whether it's sex, whether it's drinking, whether it's dope, whatever it might be, running from here to there and trying everything there is to try. and life is vain, and that's the reason that they're doing it. And now you ask them, they won't tell you that. Oh, life is wonderful. We need to be positive and everybody come together and all this kind of junk and jazz and stupid stuff. We need education and science. Yeah, everything's perfect and blah, 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 blah. But yet, they can't get any satisfaction off of life because life is vain. Life is vain. At least, or it is vain until you meet the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved, and then this life is still vanity, but we have hope because now we have a new life promised in the future, and right now we have God the Holy Ghost living in us. We've been born again, and we're new creatures. So we do have hope, and our life is not completely vain down here now because we have a purpose and we have reason, see. But the world doesn't. Also anger, if you remember, we talked about anger also was one reason, or suicidal thoughts and why, and suicidal thoughts and why anger. Anger caused you to have suicidal thoughts, and the reason of having suicidal thoughts is anger, being mad and angry. Jonah was. Lord asked him, "Dost thou do good to be angry?" He said, "I be angry unto death." He did, and. There's some of us probably could testify to that there's been times in your life that you've been so angry at life itself or whatever it might have been that you just say, I'm ready to check out, you see. And that's what it's about. That's true. God's Word says it's true, and He says that, and it shows us evidence of that very thing being in the Scriptures in Jonah. And then we went, talking about suicide being brought on, remember? What brings on suicide? Well, hopelessness and sin and disappointment and betraying Christ. Let's not be betrayers of Christ. I mean, it's you can leave Him, but He holds true and He holds faithful. He said He can't deny Himself. You see, God keeps His word whether you keep yours with Him or not. God keeps His word with us, and He's going to save us. He has saved us, and He's going to get us out of here and get us to heaven perfectly, like He said. He's going to continue to work with us down here and try to conform us into the image of Christ. Some of us put up a harder fight than others, and we need to learn our lessons. Some of us have to pay for things down here that we've done in the flesh, and some people are going to pay for it elsewhere. For instance, the unsaved, they're going to pay for it at the white throne, and they're going to pay for it down here, and they're going to pay for it in eternity. We are forgiven. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're forgiven. And now, the only thing that's going to happen is you're going to be judged of what you did in the body after you were born again. See, you're a new creature. You're walking in the Spirit. You've been separated and circumcised from that flesh, and you're in there, but you're still separated from the flesh. You don't have to obey the flesh anymore because you have another you have another side of you now, a spiritual side that has been quickened and it's awake, and you are spiritually alive, and you can do what God says and how God says, and you have the ability and the power and the backing to do it and to make it happen. It's just a matter of of getting your will in the right place and your want to in the right place. You have to will to do it. You personally have to will to do it. You know God as God. You want to do the things that are pleasing in God's sight, but you've got to decide this is the way it's going to be, and this is what's going to happen no matter what comes. I'm serving the Lord, and my life is the Lord's, and it's strictly between you and Him in the privacy of your heart that you commit yourself to Him and to His will, and everything else falls in after that. Everything else falls in after that. Then things start moving along. We talked about, or today we're going to go back into another part or avenue of this topic that we have been on concerning suicide as described in the Bible. And it is called Other Truths Concerning Suicide in the Scriptures. The Bible gives us more truths concerning this matter of suicide in the study of killing in the Bible. And we're going to go over some of that and begin our study today. But first, you know, I picked the news up again, and I want to show you. I'm showing you now that this is more important. This is an updated version of the attitude and the thinking of mankind in society now. Talking about killing. Killing is in people's minds now, and it's in their hearts, and it's in society. God's word is diminishing in society. It's being beat down. It's being beat down politically. It's being beat down spiritually. Even the church is changing God's word, and they're not allowing God's power or God the Holy Ghost to run things anymore. So this is what's coming about. Now you kick God out, and God's a gentleman. He said, if you don't want me, I don't want you. So he says, okay, take my hands off of things. And he took his hand off of America, and now look what's happening. Things are getting worse by the day. And I was reading some things from one of my mentors this morning, and he said that any time that God leaves a place, drought comes. No rain comes. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I said, the Lord takes his hand, and I have read that, and the Lord does use drought quite a bit in the scriptures, and it just withholds the water. And I thought, well, I'm going to check that. So I went to find some statistics today, right now, of what the drought condition is in America. And since America has pulled away and kicked God out and turned the shoulder to the Lord and the heel, picked the heel up against the Lord, I said, well, if that's true, then there'll be some sort of drought in maybe one or two states, or drought going on right now. I mean, you know, I was just interested. I looked on that thing, and the statistics said that 41-something% of all of America is in drought. 41-something% is in drought, and it said from the middle of the United States, south, it said 49% of the states are in drought, severe drought. How about that? There was some truth to that the Lord holds off the rain. You don't want Him, He'll just hold the water back a little bit and see what happens. See how you get thirsty. See how you need Him then, you know, because He is the one that provides the water for us, you know, and makes it rain. He says He makes it rain on one house, and the house right next to it is drought. That's how specific the Lord gets about people that love Him and don't love Him. You better believe that. Let's look at some of these. I got five of them here for you. The very first one says a man in Iowa, this is August the 22nd, 2 days ago, a man in Iowa church standoff charged with Omaha double homicide. What the man done was he barricaded himself in a church when he was running from the police for two counts of first-degree murder. He's a 27-year-old man. He killed his grandma, a lady named Linda, that was 70 years old, and he killed his great-grandma, Marceline was her name, and she was 90. A 27-year-old killed two of his family members and the oldest ones that he could find. Who doesn't love grandma? And who doesn't love great-grandma? He killed them. Yeah. He killed them and then took off running. And then broke in this church and set up a barricade. And after some hours of negotiation, it says that they took him into custody. He's held on two counts of first-degree murder, and that being family. That being family. You know, I don't know if this family thing is... if you got a good family, you better keep your business in your family. And that's not just saying so anymore. That's priority. You better teach your kids that family has privacy and secrets that they don't let anybody and everybody know about. And why? Don't be scared to tell them that what God says. Tell them what God says, that people are going to get crazy and they're going to be lovers of the self, they're going to be murderers, they're going to be thieves and lasciviousness and covetousness. That's teaching them the scriptures. And that we are not living like that. We live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can't be involved in all that. And tell your children why you believe in separation. Because the world's not going to teach them that. The world's going to teach them that let's all come together. Everything's relative. Everything's related to everything. I mean, if a boy wants to be a girl, he can. If a girl wants to be a boy, all she got to do is say, "I'm a boy." And whoever goes against that gets in trouble. Yeah. That's where your wonderful world is at. Okay, here's another one. Two killed, one injured in a targeted shooting in Atlanta. This was August 22nd, 2 days ago. Two men were shot and killed, and a woman's in custody for targeting them and killing them. She shot them. Said it was fatal shootings of two men, injured a third one, and said the woman's unidentified, who's accused of fatally shooting these two men on purpose, and killed them. So it ain't just men that are sharpshooters and get up on top of buildings and shoot at people. Women do it too. How about that? And that's that. Here's another one. This was 6 hours ago. Would-be robber victim shoots and kills the attacker. Now, this goes the other way to show you that this is very rare. This is exception to the rule right here, but let me read it to you. It says, Texas man shot and killed another man who is allegedly attempting to rob him. The shooting happened around 3:30. And it was outside of an apartment building in San Antonio's where it was. It said three men were circling the apartments in a silver car, according to the shooter. And when the man was entering the building, the men got out of the car and demanded his things while allegedly pointing guns at him. Well, instead of complying, the man pulled out his gun and shot one of the men in the neck. One of the would-be armed robbers got back in the car, and the other ran into the apartment building. I don't guess they wanted his stuff that bad after all, did they? The young gunshot victim was taken to the nearby hospital in critical condition, but ultimately died of his injuries. Police have not found either of the two suspects or charged the shooter. The investigation is ongoing. And they shouldn't charge him. If it was self-defense and they had three against one and he shot one in the neck and the other two retreated, then that made everything go away, you see. I mean, he could have just been robbed there, and who knows, they might have shot him, might not have shot him, and killed him. But they had no right to rob him. They had no right to do that, and he had every right in the world to defend himself. And anybody, the Lord says that if somebody goes to, the Lord says that if somebody tries to rob you, the death penalty or death has to do with it. And if they get killed, so what? You know, and I remember not long ago, the robberies of house robberies and house break-ins and robberies were going on so much that the governor, you can look this up, and it was a while back, but the governor got on TV. This was in South Carolina, I believe, but he got on there and he said, okay, we've had enough of all this house breaking in and everything else. He said, here's the rules from now on. He said, anybody getting caught breaking in your house, if you shoot and kill them, he said, we're not going to say a word to you. We'll come pick the body up. He said, that's it. We're stopping this mess, and we're going to stop it. He said, anybody comes in there and tries to break into your house, and you kill them for trying to break into your house, we just come pick the body up and not say a word to you. Hmm? Do what? Here's another one. This was 4 hours ago. Authorities have charged a 27-year-old man with murder. That's killing. Murder is killing. Man with murder in the fatal shootings of two landscaping workers in this place, Alexandria. It says he was arrested, and what he was doing was in this place and burglarizing places and stealing from people and breaking in places. And so when he came out, these two guys were standing out there doing landscaping work, and they were innocent bystanders. And he just kind of walked around and added two counts of second-degree murder and two firearm charges on him, because he just walked by and just for no reason gunned them down outside the apartments. Just robbing places, came out, seen two guys, decided to kill them, and killed them. And all they was doing was working for a living, landscaping. Yep. Here's the last one. It says a mother, 5-year-old daughter, fatally stabbed, and some others were injured in an attack. It said a 30-year-old man from Maryland is facing criminal homicide charges in Pennsylvania in connection with a stabbing spree that killed 34-year-old mama and a 5-year-old daughter and injured two others severely. He killed them. A mama, 34-year-old, and a 5-year-old, and stabbed them to death. Wow. That's your updated news. We ain't missed a day, have we? We've had 7 lessons. This is the 8th lesson. And at least 4 reports, or 5 reports per lesson. All updated material. None of it's even got old yet since we started this study. Killing. All right, what are some other truths concerning suicide in the Bible? Well, first of all, it is desired by some. The fact of the matter is this facade or this theatrical thing that counselors politicians and all these other people pretending that things aren't as bad as they are and that people aren't really thinking about killing themselves. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. It is desired by some. The Bible says in Revelation, and this is prophecy, this is what we're headed toward. It says, "And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." This is during the tribulation period. And this is going to be where men's minds are during the tribulation period when condemnation is being poured out on them by the Lord. They're going to desire to die, and they're going to seek death. Now, see, that's what the mental part of society is moving towards right now, progressively, or digressively, however you want to put it. It's going downhill. And whereas 40, 50 years ago, people didn't even have suicide in their vocabulary. It was a special, it was an exception to the rule of thinking, if it ever got brought up. Well, it has digressed all the way up to today, to where I've read you these reports every single time we start out a lesson just about, and it's going to continue to get worse and worse and worse, according to Revelation chapter 9. "And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." The Lord's not going to let them die. He's going to keep them alive, make them suffer. Make them suffer. And especially the ones that are in hell. And you see, it's not, you say, "Well, what a God is that? What kind of God is that?" It ain't God. It ain't the Lord's fault. All they have to do is repent. That's it. And of course, in the revelation, in the tribulation period, it's going to be a little different than this age of grace now. This age of grace right now is the easiest time in all biblical history that somebody could get saved, because it's free and it don't cost you nothing and you don't have to work for it. And you're not going to be judged for your works, because as soon as you accept Christ as your Savior, those things are blotted out, they're taken away. All right, but that's not the condition in the tribulation period. In the tribulation period, things go back to faith and works. And works. And men are just so stinking stubborn and hate God, God-haters, and God-hating wicked people that they're going to desire to die, because it says that God's going to put, say, He's going to make that sun so hot it's going to burn men's skin, and they're going to cuss Him for it. They're going to cuss Him for it instead of repenting and telling them how wicked they are and telling the truth. And telling the truth. So we see that it's desired by some. That's a truth in the Scriptures, that it's desired by some. That's not only in Revelation, and we ain't got to wait for that to happen. It's happening right now. There's people, I guarantee you, I know for a fact that there are people walking about in the flesh right now, whether it be a drug addict, an alcoholic, somebody that's depressed, just anybody. And just being human and being in the body. And in this society that we live in right now, I know for a fact there's somebody walking around seeking death right now. Just looking for a way to die and get out of this mess. I have a documentary I watch, and it's talking about over there, what's the name of that bridge that goes over in California, the Golden Gate. One of the things that the Golden Gate Bridge is known for, or famous for, if you will, is how many people jump from that bridge and kill themselves every year, commit suicide off of the bridge. They even got patrols on the bridge, suicide patrols, that go up and down the bridge looking for strange people acting funny, you know, or something like that, and try to catch them before they jump. or before they try to jump. And they've caught a lot of them. But it's famous for the amount of people that jump off of that bridge, you see. And it's desired by some. There's people that there was one fellow that jumped off that, and the parents were being interviewed. That's what I was getting at. And the parents were being interviewed, and his dad said, he said, "I just don't understand it." He said, "I don't understand what's going on in people's minds in society anymore." He said, "Because I got raised by drunks." He said, "I could have been a drunk, and I could have been suicidal, but it just didn't work out that way for me." He said, "But my son," he said, "that he just didn't feel... he felt like a prisoner in his flesh. He felt like he was being held in there and couldn't get out. And he said he needed to get out, and needed to escape, he needed to leave." And he kept telling his dad that, kept telling his dad that, and that was the way that he thought. And then one day, he went out on that bridge and jumped. And his dad said it, and he knew it was coming, he just didn't know when. He said the way he was talking, "It's desired by some." Now, friend, if you are born again and you're a Christian and you're desiring to die, then what you need to do is start talking with the Lord as straight as you know how to talk to Him and tell Him these things. Tell Him why. Tell Him what you think has made it that way. And if He would help you not to die, but if He would help you and get this matter fixed. Because, see, God's in charge of people that die. God's in charge of you killing yourself. Christians especially, that kill themselves, I mean, the Lord's in charge of it. The Bible says He kills and He makes alive. And nobody moves through the door of death without Him knowing about it. But it's desired by some. That's not a joke. That's not a joke. And it's not something that's just, let's take this out of the drawer and talk about this. I mean, this is setting on the pulpit. This is firsthand news. This is firsthand happening in society, killing. And people trying to look for a reason to kill themselves. Not for a reason, but for a way. Over in Japan, they charge the people. A big way of killing themselves over in Japan is not only going out in that forest and hanging themselves like I told you about, but they jump in front of trains, because Japan uses a lot of trains, and they jump in front of trains. And the government, there's so many people that jump in front of those trains, and it makes such a mess. Might knock them over into a restaurant through a window or something, and splatter them all over the place or whatever it takes. But the cleanup and the time that the train lost, and then it said that when somebody jumps in front of that train, all the passengers go over to another train and ride it rather than riding there, so they lose all that income. They add all that stuff up and they charge the parents for the suicide. That means it's turned into business. Because why? Because it's desired by some. You see, some other truths in the scripture. I mean, the Bible is not foreign to people wanting to kill themselves and wanting to die. The scriptures say that, and it says that's where it's headed. And that's the way it's going to be in the tribulation period. We're in the time of grace, folks, and this is the way it is. You can imagine what it's going to be like in the tribulation. It's just signs of the times. That's what the Lord Jesus said. What else? Some other truths concerning suicide in the scriptures. Well, it's not only desired, but it's attempted by some, but it's prevented. It's prevented. Another thing, and I keep bringing this up, but it's true over in Japan, is these cliffs. I got some cliffs where the water washes up, and they're real beautiful, just like that forest. But there's lots and lots of people that jump off of those cliffs and commit suicide. And this one fella, he was a, I don't know what he was, whether he was, he worked somewhere for a long time, then he retired, and he knew about these people jumping so much, and killing, and cared, and thought that the government ought to come out there and do something, and maybe put some fences up or do something. I mean, people would come out there and sit on those cliffs and just sit there and think, and then all of a sudden jump. And it's over with. And they land on those rocks down there, and plus the water crashing up against those cliffs and stuff like that. They just guaranteed to die. But they not only desire it, but they attempt it. Well, when he retired, he went down there and opened up a thing that was right next to those cliffs, and he's got volunteers there that help him, and they go walk the cliffs every day and find people sitting out there and talk them out of committing suicide. And he said they've saved thousands of people and brought them off of those cliffs like that. It's attempted, but it's prevented. Is that scriptural? Well, let's see. Acts chapter 16, verse 26 through 28 says, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken." You remember what this is. This is where Paul's in prison, and a Roman guard standing there watching over him, and all the prison doors are shut, and all of a sudden there's an earthquake, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors opened, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here." He's going to attempt suicide. I mean, he'd rather kill himself and them Romans find out that he was asleep on duty and all the people escaped. And that's what he thought whenever that earthquake woke him up. He seen all the doors open, and he thought they was all gone. So he pulled his sword out, going to commit suicide, but it was prevented. Paul told him he didn't have to do that. Don't do it. And stopped him. There's a lot of prevention going on today, trying to keep people from committing suicide, but the thing about it is the natural man receiveth not the things of God, because they're spiritually discerned. You can't talk to a man's spirit and get him to understand spiritual things, which are the Word of God. And you can't get him to understand truth by speaking fleshly things to him, by sitting talking about this anonymous and that anonymous, and how you'd go to this step and go to this step, and your will. And it, I mean, if men and women could do it by their own will, then people would be all right, wouldn't they? But they can't. I couldn't. I needed God's help, and I needed His strength, and so do you. And if it wasn't for the Lord, I'd be a statistic if it wasn't for the Lord. It was His strength. I was seeking it, looking for it. I know exactly what the Scripture's talking about, but it was attempted and prevented. I know lots of men and women that have tried to commit suicide. I watched some of them do it. When I was running that ministry, there was a fellow that come down, and me and the pastor was sitting down on the bottom discussing something, and there was one of the fellows, and I see him right in my mind's eye right now, and he walked down the stairs just out of nowhere, man, and come down there, pulled a razor blade out, and hacked his wrists up and said, "Is this what you want?" Hacked his wrists up. Man, I went nuts. Because mostly because we had to go, we carried him to the hospital, but mostly because I had to dismiss him from the ministry, because now we knew that he would cut his wrists with something, and if I know it, and they come and find him in a pool of blood upstairs, then you know how that'll turn out. So I had to put him out, and that was the saddest part of it, because he needed it the worst. He was seeking death, but we prevented it because he'd done it right in front of us. There was one fella drank a jug of Clorox, drank some Clorox. All kinds of things. But we took him to the hospital and prevented it. There's one fella that was sitting in my class one time, and I was doing some evaluations. And the evaluations weren't to say whether it was good or bad. It was just to say this is where you are and this is how you're doing in the ministry. And this is just for your information. It wasn't to judge anybody or anything like that. Nobody else knew anything about anybody else. I was the only one that knew. And I handed him his, and he sat back in his chair and put his feet out and kind of just, you know, sat in a rebellious kind of way, and he let out of his mouth and said, "I don't like being evaluated." And then I just tried to explain to him that what I just got through telling you. Well, later on, come to find out, he made the headlines. Yeah, he made the headlines. He was in town. He had left the ministry. And the next thing we knew about him, the news that we got off of him was that he was in his apartment. He set his apartment on fire and cut his own wrists and bled out and burned to death in town, and made the headlines. He was desiring it, to kill himself. And while he was at the ministry, we was preventing that and trying to get God's word in him, because the Bible, God's word, is what cleans men's minds and their hearts. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You get cleaned up by God's word. That's what you're doing right now. But suicide's attempted, and in lots of places, it's prevented. It's prevented. We see that in the scriptures. Paul saved somebody's life from killing himself. What else? Well, suicide was imputed to Christ. Now, don't get me wrong when I'm talking about this. The Lord didn't kill himself in a way that a man would kill himself. So let's just establish that to begin with. Jesus Christ is and was God in the flesh. And Jesus never sinned. He never thought about suicide in a way to escape something. Jesus thought about suicide, and we know what suicide is, somebody killing themselves. And that's what Jesus did. He said, "No man takes my life from me. I lay it down." He allowed his murder to happen and appointed himself to go through this matter of being murdered, and knew what was the outcome was. He told his disciples all through his ministry that I must go to Jerusalem, but my time is not yet. What time? The time that I'm going to die. So when we're talking about suicide was imputed to Christ, it wasn't imputed for a punishment. It was imputed to take care of our punishment, to take the place of our punishment. Did you get that? Let's read some scripture and see that. In John chapter 8 and verse 21 and 22, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. I mean, the Lord didn't even hide it from the Jews. He told them why he was there. He told them what he was doing. And they even identified with it. They said, will he kill himself? No, as a matter of fact, you're going to kill me. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew. People know they're going to kill themselves before they do it. It's self-murder. And Jesus allowed that to happen to him, being obedient to the Father. They said it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And you say, how can that be? That's because of us. Because of what we are. Not what we have done. It's because of what we are. We are sinners. And we are cursed. And the only way the Lord could get us out of that was through this matter right here. John 8:21 and 22. Now here's another one. John 15:12 and 13. Listen to this. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, then Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You see, he just described suicide. He said that a man lay down his life for a friend. But it's a completely different scenario, isn't it? It's for somebody else. But he still commits suicide, self-murder. But it's completely different. It's for the reason of somebody else, not for the reason that the world's doing it now. And killing themselves. This matter of killing. You see, the scriptures is up to date. It's better than up to date. It's future date. And past date. And today date. Here's another one. John 15, verse 12 and 13. Well, I just read that to you, didn't I? No. Luke chapter 4. And it says, he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle. We know what this is. Of the temple. This is the devil tempting Jesus. It said he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, way up high. And said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he's quoting God's word now, and by the way, he said it wrong. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. He was tempting Jesus to commit suicide and challenging him to attempt to commit suicide and see if God's word was true, that the angels would hold Jesus up and keep him from hitting his foot against a stone, much more catch him before he hits the ground and keep him from smashing into the ground. You see. And the devil challenged him to commit suicide. But it was prevented, because Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And Jesus told him who he was, too, didn't he? He said, thou shalt not tempt. Who was he tempting? He was tempting Jesus. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That's in Luke chapter 4. So you see, the Lord knew, and the devil tried to get him to commit suicide and think about it. And we see that. So there are other truths concerning suicide in the scriptures. It's desired by some. And not only that, it is attempted and prevented. And these matters that we're seeing in the scriptures that show us some scenarios, some truth that the Lord's showing us in the Scriptures concerning suicide is desired by some. Yes, it's attempted but prevented by some. We see that in the Scriptures. And that suicide was imputed to Christ. We see that in the Scriptures. And then also, we see one other in the Scriptures, and that's what we just got through reading, that Satan tempts Christ to commit suicide. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And if he tried to commit, tried to tempt the Son of God to commit suicide, don't you think that him and his crowd tries to get convince people here in the flesh, in humans, to commit suicide? Oh, just kill yourself. Man, you put up with too much. It's just time, you know, it's time to check out. Get a little relief here. You don't think that sounds like him? You better believe it sounds like him. The Lord said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The devil never said he cared for you. He's just trying to get you and mess with your mind to try to get you to blame God and blame everything else and blame, 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 and I'm just getting out of here, man. I can't take this no more. Suicide. Killing yourself. We'll stop right there. And we'll pick up on the next one, talking about principles in the Scriptures prohibiting suicide, okay? Prohibiting suicide. And does the Bible tell us that we're not supposed to commit suicide? Well, we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about some of the things that the Lord in the New Testament and that Paul in the New Testament have said about this matter of killing yourself, and that it's kind of been put aside. It's been put aside because grace is here now. You don't have to kill yourself because you're under grace. You're not under the law anymore. When you're born again, the law doesn't affect you anymore. It doesn't bind you anymore. You don't have anything to be guilty about. All your guilt has been taken away. The Bible says, and if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father that updates your grace and says that if you'll confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you're confessing your faults daily to the Lord and confessing your sins to the Lord, like the Lord commands us, then you're walking clean before the Lord every day and doing the things that are pleasing in his sight. You see? You don't have any reason to commit suicide. And we honor the Lord's word because the law is not done away with. The law was fulfilled. But yet it's still binding, but it's not binding in a critical way or a everlasting way with us anymore. Jesus took care of all that. But it's still good to live by the law. Thou shalt not kill. And every person on this planet, no matter where they live out in the middle of the jungle, just as native as they can be, whatever, and never seen no society or civilization or anything like that, they know that it's wrong to kill for just no reason. They know it's wrong to murder. Every man knows in his heart that it's wrong to murder. You see? So, just a lot of truth, isn't it? Well, praise the Lord for that. Let me give you these scriptures. You ready? Revelation chapter 9, verse 6. Acts chapter 16, verse 26 through 28. John chapter 8, verse 21 and 22. John chapter 10, verse 15 through 18. John chapter 15, verse 12 through 13. And the last one for today is Luke chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. Okay? All right, brothers and sisters. And we're going to talk some more about this matter of killing. and finish up this part that we're studying concerning suicide. I hope that this has been encouraging to you. It's not a popular study, but it is a truth that needs to be heard from the Scriptures and talked about, and know what God's mind is concerning these things, because the world's not telling the truth about it. They're not going to tell you the truth. The devil's not going to tell you that God cares about you and that you ought not kill yourself, and that killing is wrong, and murder's wrong, and that there is such thing as killing by accident. But God still cares that life that was lost by accident or by however it was, but not murder, that life is still important, and that the thoughts of our minds and our hearts ought to be a love for life. A love for life and a respect for life and sanctity for life. And it used to be that way in this country. People cared about life. They don't care about life no more. As a matter of fact, it's going the other way. They want to get rid of life. Not only their own, but everybody else's. Killing. So we'll talk about principles prohibiting suicide. Principles. You see, New Testament principles about this matter of suicide and about this matter of killing. Okay? So there you go. And thank you again for joining in today. It's tremendous to study God's Word, isn't it? I thank you for joining us, and the Lord bless you and bless your family and continue to give you your needs and a roof over your head and your bills paid. We have a wonderful God. No good thing will the Lord withhold from them that love Him. You hang in there now. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Until the next one, bye-bye.